this is the one of the nice things about knowing Dave Schwann for as many years as I have. I clearly remember when he was the Indian chief in the Village People. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. I don't think there was ever a better Indian chief in the group, Schwanny, than the years that you did it.
He kept the rhythm very well.
Thank you very much.
I was the cowboy.
In your DJ years, did you play Disco Duck?
Yes. By Rick Dees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Disco Duck.
That makes you a qualified disco DJ, then.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Oh, I was. Yeah. I was in my heyday of music DJ years during the disco era. I've always liked disco music. I was not a disco sucks person.
No.
As you know, the today's the anniversary of the disco demolition at then Comiskey Park. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the music. I like dance music. I used to go down to Rush Street all the time.
It was fun to dance to.
It was fun.
Did you go to Faces?
I did go to Faces.
Yeah?
Yep.
You were the happening guy then.
Oh, you kidding me? I think I've told you about how I had, I went out and bought a white three-piece suit so I could look like John Travolta.
You could be just like John Travolta.
I wanted to look like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
And heads turned when you walked into the room.
For the wrong reasons.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Stay alive.
Night fever.
Do I have my gold chain on? Yes, I do.
We know how to do it.
Do I have my saber-tooth gold chain on? Yes, I do. Looking sharp. Happy disco demolition anniversary.
You know, there's one guy that was really not happy with the whole thing, Roger Bostard, who was still in charge of the grounds there.
Well, can you blame
at Comiskey Park? He still talks about that situation.
Oh, they destroyed the field.
Yeah, they took the part of the infield out, and they were swinging from the foul poles, and it was a thing. It was a scene.
Yeah, but that was it's a big deal back then.
Yes, it was.
You know, for us at least, anyway. I mean. In the scheme of like real world problems, whether or not you like disco music probably didn't amount to a hill of beans. But some people absolutely hated any kind of dance music. And you know, the point of the disco demolition was if you hated disco music, you bring a disco record. And did you get free admission or like a dollar off?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
Something. You bring a disco record to Comiskey Park, and then Steve Dahl. The very popular DJ, a talk show host back then. I guess he's pretty much been a talk show host more than a DJ. But he and Gary Meyer, his partner, would blow up all the disco records.
Yep.
On the pitcher's mound, am I remembering?
I think it was in shorts right behind second base, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Right. And, that turned into a riot. And it's just the whole thing. They shut down the park. They canceled the game. Here's the question that I've always had though: if people who hated disco music came to the park, why did they have a disco record?
Right.
Why did they?
If they hated it, that means they probably had to go out and buy one on purpose just to bring it in.
Yeah. Thus defeating the purpose.
Or secretly. Had a stash of disco records.
And didn't bring their best ones, of course.
Right.
So they'd have something to go home and listen to.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody was there checking the record labels to make sure. Donna Summer, go in. Go Village People, go
Donna
in.
Donna Summer, that was the other person I was trying
Sean
to
Sean Cassidy, sorry, you can't come in. That's not a disco record.
And why do you have that?
Sean I still have some of my remember they used to make these 12-inch, they called them EPs, extended play songs. These are what they used to play at the disco clubs when the DJs actually spun vinyl back in the clubs. But they would send them to the radio stations, and, naturally, I stole plenty of them.
No, you?
A DJ stealing records from a radio station?
Never.
That never happens.
No.
Never.
But I still have a few of those. I kept a few of those.
Do you happen to have the one with like a condensed version of the music from Star Wars that was arranged for a disco. It was an EP. It ran a good Miko? 10 minutes.
The group Miko, the disco version of Star Wars?
It might have been that, but it's really more of a full orchestra. Definitely a big brass ensemble, and it starts out with the main theme and goes through the barroom scene and the love theme, and then finally... where Darth Vader gets it, and then at the end, it was good. I did like that one.
Yeah. Well, you would have been killed that night at the ballpark.
Well, for admitting that I liked it?
They would have strung you up.
Well, then you wouldn't have had to work with me.
Well, that would never... That would
because that was 1979. I think that's it.
This is the long...
That's the one.
Miko.
Yeah.
This is the group Miko, but not the single version. Get this. It's a 15-minute version.
I was going to say, it was at least 10 minutes, 15 minutes. That's it. Oh, I'm young again.
I'd be in the middle of the dance floor over at Faces, sweating like Albert Brooks in the movie Broadcast News. We may have to dedicate today's show to the disco hits of our youth.
Our youth.
There we go.
I'll go home and bring some of my KTEL records in.
Oh, the KTEL records were fantastic. There you go. You would have brought this record to Comiskey Park that night. You only had to pay thank you for the texts on this. You only had to pay a 98-cent admission into the ballpark that night.
Yeah.
That's how that worked. Because The Loop, the radio station with Steve and Gary.
Did they pay for the rest of it? It was a promotional thing?
98. FM 98.
98.7. Yeah, right.
Right. So, you know, one of the most famous radio promotions of all time. Happy anniversary.
Famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So when right around that same period, Chwani, I don't know if you remember this on the old WFYR where we worked, they were doing a contest in which you could win the opportunity to go into a little sort of like glass or plexiglass box, and in the box was $1 million in cash. And you had, I think we gave the people 103.5 minutes, seconds to be in that booth with the $1 million, and you could grab as much as you could. But
I have a vague memory of that.
But the money was strategically placed in this booth, so they, you know, guaranteed that nobody would get more than a couple of $1,000.
Yeah, I have a vague memory of that. I wasn't at the station yet at that time.
That's the big promotion that we were doing. But somebody made a mistake in how they placed the money inside the box. And they
found it.
Somebody wound up getting, a couple of $100,000.
Wow.
Something that the station had not budgeted. Crazy. Crazy. John, where are you calling from, John?
Good morning, Dean. I am driving in Indiana right now.
Very nice. Nice to have you with us. You were actually at Disco Demolition?
Yeah, I was about 10 or 11 years old with my older sister and older brother. It was crowded as heck. And the thing that I remember most was some guy getting violently ill into a garbage can, and my sister grabbed me and said, "We are out of here."
Oh, see, you had a smart sister.
Back on the bus, back to the south side.
Oh boy!
It was bizarre.
Did you bring disco records in order to get the reduced admission?
Probably. I was just a drag along because nobody was home to watch me. So my sister said, "You're going with." Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four boys. I completely understand that feeling.
Yeah, I'm number 6 out of 7,
holy
and you do
smokes.
What you're told, and you don't get hit. So.
Do you remember seeing Steve and Gary on the field? They had like army helmets on. I mean, it was like they were staging a whole big deal.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I just remember tons of people just flooding onto the field, and it was borderline chaos, and just it was the strangest thing, and just shows you it's weird things stick in your mind for decades. So,
but you remember a guy puking into the garbage can.
You know, Can't remember somebody's birthday, but you can remember that. So there you go.
Well, I mean, even harder to believe, John, is that it was 41 years ago.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
In my head, I'm still, you know, under the age of 30, but the calendar is telling me a lie on that, too. So.
Yeah, I know. It's like when you, it doesn't seem like that much time could have possibly gone by, right?
Serious.
Yeah.
Calendar keeps moving faster every decade.
That's very true.
It really does.
Thanks for calling in. John, happy motoring. Safe driving out there. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Yes, we remember this very important day in Chicago history, pop music history, pop culture history. This is totally me walking down Rush Street headed to face. Got my swagger on. Well, you can't take. Sorry to admit it. I like this song. I still like this song. I don't know, you know, if I can say that I liked it back in the day when we were playing it every, like, 75 minutes, you'd hear the same song over and over.
You know, the late Ed Farmer told a story about Disco Demolition Day. He was with the White Sox at the time, and they were in the clubhouse trying to get ready for the second game of the doubleheader. And they remember hearing people in the concourse is just banging on the clubhouse door trying to get in.
Jeez. Crazy times. So because I wasn't here last week, I didn't get to officially congratulate Andy on his new position. Andy is now going to be the official play-by-play announcer for your Chicago White Sox. And
yes.
We couldn't be happier for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And we're looking forward to it because I'm tired of talking about inter-squad games already.
Yeah.
Let's get some stuff going for real here. We're going to have an exhibition game coming up, I believe, on the 19th against the Cubs. It's a week from today. So
yeah.
The season starts the 24th.
So this means you'll be traveling all over the place, right?
No, we're not traveling at all. How about that? We are actually going to be calling every single game, home or road, from the booth at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
You'll be watching it.
Yeah.
Like with cameras or something.
Correct.
But calling the games from Guaranteed Rate.
Yeah. So they split everybody up into these different tiers of people that get tested quite often and some that don't get tested at all, like us. But tier three, we're not allowed to get on the team plane, be on the team bus or anything like that.
Yeah.
So in order to do it, we'd have to make our own travel arrangements. And you know how that can get a little dicey if you're
right.
Going into an extra inning game somewhere and you have to be in the next city the next day. So I think for all health and safety purposes, most of the teams, and I believe now all the teams, are not going to travel any of their broadcasters.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm a lot less worried about you then.
Well, thank you.
Knowing that you're not going to be going all over, but I couldn't be happier. And you, we spoke off the air that you're still going to be here on the Sunday show as much as you can be.
Yeah, we're trying to work that out because of the non-travel situation. It's probably going to be a little easier than it would be if I was in a different city, obviously. But we're going to work on that and try to be here as much as possible.
Yeah. Is there any positions there for Schwani so we can get him off the show at all?
Yeah, we need a runner. We need somebody to get us food every once in a while.
Schwani?
As long as the food is free, I'll go.
I didn't say that. I mean, you probably have to pay for it too, but you know. It's worth it, you know?
It's a great opportunity for you, Schwani.
Just what I wanted to be, a food runner.
You want to break into business, that's how you got to start.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.